It is time for another edition of Silence Broken, the IPV Talks. My name is Bob Perot, joined as always by Aaron Lee, Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House. Aaron, good to see you.
Good to be with you all.
And we also have today joining us, also from Lanark County Interval House, Emma Kinsman. How are you, Emma?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
We're very happy to have you here, that's for sure. And you know, it's interesting because Aaron and I get inspired by things that are happening in our lives, things that we see, you know. And for me, I've been watching TV series and so on, and it got me really thinking about how intimate partner violence is portrayed in pop culture. There are some cases where they do it justice and really do an exceptional job of explaining how we need to help the victims. In other cases, some say it could be a little bit glorified. It's been turned into thrillers. And really, it's, I guess my question, Aaron, that I'll start out with you is it a good way to get the message across? I suppose that's pretty hard to answer because there's so many different angles.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important. It's in the news. The government's talking about it. It is obviously considered entertainment from the more perspective of movies and songs and so on. And I mean, I think it's important to just set the stage, right? Pop culture really reflects and shapes what our attitudes are and kind of societal perceptions and influences people in terms of how they approach things and what they think. So it's important to balance what trivializes or romanticizes IPV, or this notion in an IPV movie about how you just kill the abuser. Or, you know, people really respond well to the Dixie Chicks, you know, Goodbye Earl, and, you know, Earl's got to die. And I think that it is important that we recognize that we have to make sure that we're talking about the increasingly pervasiveness of IPV in reality and how it's perceived and how those attitudes are shaped, and how do we ensure that we're shifting that in a way that's really rooted in people's realities. And I think it's really good to have someone like Emma here, who is young and who is engaged in promoting social media and really challenging people in terms of how they think. What's your perspective about the kind of pop culture nuances and IPV, Emma?
Well, I think there's a lot of representations of intimate partner violence. And as you said, Bob, it's pretty complex. You know, there's all different kinds of representation. But I think the problem is that it often takes these harmful behaviors and kind of softens them, or it makes it, it romanticizes things. And then I think that makes it hard for people to understand what is healthy in a relationship in real life, because pop culture makes it seem so romantic and this is just a complicated love story when really, like, this isn't how relationships should go.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And we see that, like you said, and you and Aaron both use the words romanticize, right? And I think certain series or efforts have to be recognized for doing the exact opposite as well, because we don't want this to be the only education that people have, you know. I'm not going to say it started with, but one of the first ones I remember was Sleeping with the Enemy with Julia Roberts, who ended up having to fake her own death to get away from her partner. I don't think it's based on a true story, but nonetheless, it brought those themes front and center. Now, it was a thriller movie, so I don't know if it romanticized it, but it certainly accented certain parts to tell the story. But in that case, I think that the message did get across, Aaron.
Yeah, I think that there are lots of better examples of things that shows that are depicting things more rooted in reality and amplifying victims' voices and victims' experiences. And I think that what we don't want to see in pop culture is the normalization of violence in relationships, as Emma, you were referring to. I think Big Little Lies is a show that's Definitely being kind of praised for more authenticity of depicting kind of sexual violence and physical violence and abuse. And I think that those, we do have to look to those in terms of the reality. I remember a film many, many years ago called Enough. And I think, that was one of those where, she was going after the abuser. And I think we have to be careful about those messages. I think that, even the series Made, that was out at Netflix several years ago, I think that that had people captivated. And I think, that was the first time that I've seen shelters be kind of front and center in terms of her seeking safe refuge at a shelter. And again, I think it's important that we do look at what are those softening messages, as Emma said, what are the normalization messages, and then what are the ones that are authentically amplifying voices. And I think, there are films like Tinder Swindler, which also depict the reality of what happens to some. But for sure, there's probably less cases of the Tinder swindler than there are of people just engaging with Tinder on a regular basis. So I think, again, it's that balance. Emma, I see you shaking your head, and I know that listeners can't see that, but I want to turn it over to you in terms of, I know you have some opinions also on Twilight and Vampire Diaries and stuff like that. So let's turn it over to you.
Well, I am secretly a Twilight fan. Don't tell anyone. But I do think when you watch that movie or read those books, like the whole relationship between Bella and Edward is based on, him sneaking into her windows and spying on her and being very controlling. And then there's the jealousy element of a love triangle with Jacob. And it's just kind of those unhealthy aspects of relationships, but aimed at teens. So I think that is also kind of scary, where maybe teenagers are thinking like, oh my gosh, he loves her so much or whatever, when it's like, no, if someone does that to you, if someone sneaks in your window to watch you sleep at night, like Edward does to Bella, that's not okay. Red flag, major red flag.
You know what I think, Bob? I think that one of the things you were talking about before we started recording was just the opportunity and the power in watching a show like Unbelievable, and stopping the film, pausing, and having a discussion about like, wow, that's really awful. Like, that's not cool. That's, and based on my education and my knowledge, blah, 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 and having a conversation. And I really think with youth, especially because pop culture really influences young people, I think it is important to think about how do we pause and say, wow, is that something that you experience at school? Are some of these messages happening in your classrooms? Or, that's not my experience. What's your experience? This doesn't seem real, or this seems real. To also bring that as a tool by which we can have a real conversation about what's going on. I know that you had referenced the fact that you and your wife had a conversation in the midst of one of the episodes. So I do think that it's a useful tool, right? Also to have those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Unbelievable. We've just picked it up. We're actually going to be watching the final episode tonight, so no spoilers, please. But nonetheless, it's a fantastic show, and it's been rated like 9 out of 10 all over the place, and it's really, it shows like an unrelenting pursuit by two detectives, and it also really depicts what happens when someone, a victim, isn't believed, or the officers just sort of want to, brush it under the rug based on this person's background. So, I mean, there's all sorts of trigger warnings, in this particular show. It is on Netflix. And really, I think from the true crime stuff that I like to watch based on a true story loosely, I think that this is one of the best ones because it doesn't show, there's nothing glorified, and when certain things happen, you feel like justice has been served. I think this is the way that things can be presented as beneficial. And what you were talking about when I stopped it was when they had, and this is in the first episode, I'm not giving anything away, but when they had this alleged victim, and it's all based on, it all starts with this young woman who is raped, and then no one believes her. But it's when they are questioning her in the police, whatever, the police station for the first time, she's alone. She doesn't have parents. She doesn't have a lawyer there. She's the result of a foster system and so on. And that's when I stopped it and said, you know, this isn't right because that shouldn't happen that way. There needs to be someone there to help her. And she ends up being gaslit.
Yeah. I think that, increased visibility of IPV is kind of everywhere, in the news, in our conversations, in our local communities. And so with increased visibility, I think that shows and social media campaigns, are increasingly depicting the complexities, kind of trauma, the cycle of IPV, and encouraging conversations, and especially highlighting victims who are help seeking. Because I think that traditionally, oh, I just said traditionally, so I'll pass it to you in a sec, Emma. But encouraging conversations and looking at victims who are help seeking as important and centered in a film or a show or whatever. And I think that with the character Marie, it is important that she is centered in that, in terms of amplifying victims and really encouraging victims to seek support. I know, Emma, we've recently been having some conversations at work about kind of the movement around tradwives and how that can also contribute to concerns around IPV. Why don't you give us some of your insights around that?
Yeah, I think back to when we were talking about youth, I mean, teens are on social media so much, and there's been a huge rise in like misogynistic alpha male podcasts and content. But then on the, so that's kind of impacting boys, but also girls. And then on the other side, there's this rise of trad wife or the hyper traditional relationship, and it's aesthetic, it's aspirational. So there's nothing wrong with choosing like a traditional lifestyle. If that's for you, that's great. But it's the problem is that when they're packaging it in a way that's kind of glorifying control, obedience, and also like dependency on your partner or a husband, especially when they're not talking about things like consent, choice, safety. And I think like for survivors, but also for teens, like that can be kind of confusing because it blurs the line between like, this is my choice and this is what's expected of me. And it kind of makes those unhealthy dynamics look aspirational, as I said. And, we know that abusive relationships don't always look violent or chaotic from the outside. Sometimes they look calm and polished and even like something that you envy or you want for yourself. So I think the trad wife situation is really playing into that illusion.
And what you'd see is when people start watching those videos on TikTok and so on, then it gets fed into their algorithm. And then they're flicking
Yes.
through dozens of these videos, young, impressionable minds. And that's where, you know, the problem just amplifies there.
I would agree. And, one of the things that I guess keeps kind of popping into mind is how do we challenge the status quo? And how do we use media like this podcast, for instance, is a way to challenge the status quo, to give this platform that kind of counters harmful narratives, educates bystanders, shifts public perception. And those are the things that we want to continue to do. And those are the things that we want to amplify through the shows we're watching on television and the books that we're reading and the podcast that we're listening to. And we need to be challenging the status quo in order for us to open the minds of folks around conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just about out of time here, but Emma, I wanted to know sort of what what your takeaway is from this conversation. I'm glad you brought the online social media part into it, right? Because pop culture really
Yeah.
is quite a big umbrella.
I think what it to me, what it comes down to is that people really need to be working on media literacy and thinking critically when they're consuming, really TV, books, movies, but also while they're scrolling social media. You know, whose voice is missing? Who's benefiting from this story being told? And is this being presented in a romantic, traditional, ideal way, or is it centering the victim or the perpetrator or the survivor? And is it centering consent, autonomy, and safety? I think we need to be better at questioning the th things that we're consuming, and better at supporting people around us.
Yeah, and even in documentaries that I've been watching about IPV and so on, I find myself thinking about the 86 recommendations and how it would help in certain situations that they've documented on film. As we do every week, we are going to end with Aaron's final thoughts. Aaron.
My final thought for today is that it is important to center the fact that we've had 187 femicides in Canada in 2024. We've had, in 2023, 62 femicides just in Ontario, and this year our statistics are lower. The reality is that people are enduring and are living with violence. So when we are looking through our lens at what we are watching on Reels and TikTok and movies and what books we're reading, we need to remember that that reality is real for so many people in our community, and we need to challenge the status quo, and we need to continue to have conversations that really change the way we socialize and the way we normalize things that happen in relationships, and that we focus on the rights to be safe and to be happy and ending violence in relationships.
Emma Kinsman, thank you so much for being with us today. People would never know it, but we sort of wrangled you last minute, and you brought a lot to the table. Much appreciated.
Oh, thanks, Bob.
And Aaron, of course, we'll speak to you next week. I look forward to it, my friend.
Indeed, right. Me too.
This has been the IPV Talks, of course, known as Silence Broken. Every episode, including this one, is available at lanarkleadstoday.ca. Just head on over there, type in lanarkleadstoday.ca/silencebroken, and you'll be brought to the full episode list. I'm Bob Perreault. Again, thanks to Aaron Lee and Emma Kinsman. We'll talk to you next week.